Blog Talk Radio.
That's a sound. You know what that means, guys and girls and children of all ages. It is the Going Old School Show, NFL Week 3 Sunday Edition, live on blogtalkradio.com. It is 10 o'clock sharp Eastern Time on September 25th, 2022. Let's get right to it. If you want to join me, you can for the next 45 minutes to an hour at 515-602-9730, 515-602-9730. Johnny Sunship's flying solo for you in the AO chair, as I like to say, up at the Sports Hub in Boston. So a little bit of everything, but Joe and John are probably doing other things, which is good. And I like doing Sunday show with them or without, just to kind of get your reaction and kind of get my feet wet and keep me abreast of what's going on all around the league in the NFL, which is what we want to do with you. If you want to reach out to me, obviously, like I said, you can kind of connect me right here at the show. 515-602-9730 or at Twitter, on Twitter at JP_Ahern, A-H-E-R-N. I can get your comments there if you would like to go that route. Hey, week three, man, it's a couple of lots of different things going on. Six teams at 2-0. I think there are five teams at 0-2. We know 63% of the teams who start 2-0 go on to make the playoffs, and it's not the same for the teams who start 0-2. Just over 12%, and we'll pontificate about those teams that are going up, go along on our Sunday slate here on the Going Old School Show. Sunday school. I was never a big fan of Sunday school when I was younger. Didn't want to get up. Didn't want to get up Sunday mornings. Did it anyway. Went to the church. Got the Sunday school out of the way before church and got that done. But it is Sunday school here in the classroom on the Going Old School Show as well. Anyway. Lots of big stuff going on today. A couple of shootout games. Buffalo, Miami looks to be that way. Minnesota, Detroit may have big fantasy implications for you as well. We'll get to our route, shout, and bust out and who you have if you want to partake in the route, shout, and bust out later on in the show. But let's go around the NFL. A couple of little factoids I just want to bring out in this, you know, the season entering week three. First of all, the Buffalo Bills, and we've seen what they can do, they can become the fifth team since the year 2000 to score 100 or more points and allow 40 points or fewer in the first three games. And that would be the Patriots in 2019, who through three games scored 106 points and gave up just 17. Interesting. Big tilt, Buffalo, Miami. The Lions, who look really good offensively. And you got to root for the Lions because of their futility, because it's Americana to root for the underdog, isn't it? And the Lions have been quote unquote lovable losers for some time. Snake bitten, if you will. Today, they go into today's game are one of five teams to average 400 or more yards of total offense per game, in which they are doing just over that at 405.5. So they're exciting, if anything else. Another exciting team, looking really good on both offense and defense. The Eagles, looking for their third consecutive game with 450 yards or more of total offense. That's pretty interesting. I wasn't a believer in the Eagles. After 2 weeks, yes. To win the division, I wasn't. I thought Dallas is the division. And again, it's very, very early. Cooper Rush is the quarterback. There may be a controversy if they go and beat the Giants tomorrow night on Monday Night Football in New York, actually in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. And if Cooper Rush, which will, if he wins, will win his third straight start and three and only three starts he's made in a Dallas uniform. There could be a quarterback controversy because I'm not sure, number one, if Dak Prescott can stay injury-free. And number two, I think they just need more than him to succeed offensively. It's just one of those things. He's a great player when he's healthy. But in that offense, it takes more than a quarterback. And the quarterback, maybe he's not doing what he should. Maybe he's not utilizing his receivers. I know Michael Gallup is maybe going today. Can CeeDee Lamb be the number one? We don't know. So there's still question marks out there on the perimeter. The defense is really solid. Micah Parsons is picking up right where he left off. He was looking to start the season with at least 2 sacks in his first 3 games. But offensively, they're missing something. Is it Ezekiel Elliott? Both of these guys were to be the nucleus and the focal points of this offense, meaning Elliott and Prescott. Prescott can't stay on the field, and Zeke Elliott just hasn't been the same in over a year. Here comes Cooper Rush, new blood. Granted, wasn't pretty, but they won a game with him at quarterback. If they do the same on Monday night in the Meadowlands, I can't help but think that there will be a quarterback controversy. But who's to say what Jerry Jones is going to do? Because we know that Prescott will not be out for 6 weeks. I think it's 4 with the thumb injury. So it's going to be interesting in Dallas if they continue to win, but that is a big if against a Giant team that looks really, really good and is changing the culture with a really, really solid head coach in Brian Daboll. Closer to home here in the Northeast, Pats quarterback Mac Jones can surpass Chad Pennington for the highest completion percentage by a quarterback in his first 20 career starts. Jones is at 67.2% completion percentage going into today. The record is by Chad Pennington, who was 67.3%. The irony of this, guys and girls out there, is if you listen to talk radio here in the Northeast, in the Boston area, and now here in Providence, at the Score, 790 AM, shameless plug for them. When you look at Mac Jones in his ceiling, we talked about the comparisons. Obviously, you can't compare him to Brady. Who do you compare him to? Is he a pedestrian quarterback? No, he's better. And Chad Pennington's name came out with a lot of talking heads in this area by guys who, okay, what's your ceiling? He could be Chad Pennington, who was a pretty darn good quarterback. Didn't like the world on fire. Went out there, led his team, big games. We saw him here at the Jets. And just went out there and won games. And isn't that what it's about, is winning? And the irony here is Mac Jones is neck and neck for the highest completion percentage by a quarterback in his first 20 career games. Starts, that is, with Chad Pennington. Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. And as I was saying earlier, since 1990, 63% of teams starting 2-0 make the playoffs. Right now, those 6 teams, who are 2-0? Buffalo, Kansas City, Miami, the Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Giant fans, pretty good company thus far. Haven't heard your name mentioned with the word playoffs in the same sentence in a little while, a couple of years. Again, 515-602-9730. Giant fans, tell me how you feel. How do you feel tomorrow night? Cowboys. NFC East divisional tilt. Big game. Big game with a team that looks like it's turning the corner. Again, only 2 games in. But you like what you see from the Giants thus far. A couple of stories this morning, courtesy Adam Schefter on ESPN. Jimmy G could have been in the nation's capital. And we're going to hear these stories leak out now that Jimmy G is firmly under center for the San Francisco 49ers. There was a trade in place, apparently, according to Adam Schefter, during the offseason. Let's get him off. That's okay. Sorry about that. Little interference. That's bigger. So the Niners were going to trade Jimmy G to the Washington Commanders for several draft picks, but when Jimmy G decided to opt for shoulder surgery, the Commanders backed out. Good move by both. looking better with each week that passes, that the San Francisco 49ers held on to Jimmy G for a couple reasons. But he is their starter right now. Trey Lance out for the year. Tom Brady broke a tablet or tablets last week versus the Saints. And he later was listed on the injury report involving the ring finger on his throwing hand. Brady said it was a reaction because he couldn't remember the password. BS, dude. You're hot. You're bothered. The Saints have owned you. It was 3-3 at the time, and they were doing what they do normally in a regular season game, Tom. They were in your face. And kudos to you. 5 turnovers later by the Saints in 17 minutes, and you won the game. You pulled it out, which you normally do, TB12. But don't play the game if you forgot the password, because if you're logged in, you shouldn't have to log in again, especially during the game. I'm sorry, Mr. Goat. That's not good enough. You're hot-headed. I get it. It's okay. We get frustrated. You're competitive. Okay? But don't spin the BS. You have not been kind, vice versa, to tablets when you're getting pressured and you're on the verge of losing games or you're involved in a game and things just aren't going your way. That's the way it is, TB12. And that's okay, like I said, because it's going to happen. Big game for TB12 today, by the way. Tonight, Green Bay. Green Bay and Tampa Bay back in the day with my boy Chris Berman back in his days on ESPN. He used to title this as the Bay of Pigs match. But now it's the GOATs. It's the Battle of the GOATs. And we'll get into that matchup a little bit later. Both teams suffering at the wide receiver position. And an old friend or an old, kind of an old friend, if you're a Buffalo Bill fan, was scraped up off the practice squad today by the Buccaneers, and he'll probably see a lot of action versus the Green Bay Packers. But let's get on with it, if we will. Okay. Let's start with the week one, 1 o'clock matchups, and that is the New Orleans Saints at 1-1 go to Carolina, who is 0-2. Jameis Winston, who is, boy, dinged up, several broken bones in his back. He's going to get the start today, apparently. He's 4-6 in his career versus the Panthers with 9 TDs, 16 interceptions, and he's been sacked 36 times. And oh, but like I said, in a 3-3 game in the fourth quarter, the final 17 minutes, the Saints had 5 turnovers, and that's all you need to know about last week. They paid dearly. So we'll see what shakes there. The Saints have won 5 of the last 6 in the series, by the way. Head coach Matt Rhule is being endorsed by the owner this week, 0-2 start. I would imagine he's on the hot seat. I can't think of anything else, no matter what's being said. He wants to open up the passing game, meaning veteran Rashad Higgins and rookie Terrence Marshall Jr. should see more action with Baker Mayfield under center. Speaking of Baker Mayfield, he's just 7-14 passing for 54 yards with 0 TDs, and the team has converted 26% of third down opportunities. So their offense is not there yet. Christian McCaffrey, how much is he going to be a part of it? Will he regain the form he had a few years ago? Because he's burnt out, man, in my opinion. And I don't think he can be the focal point of this offense like he was just a few short years ago and function at the level he did. Wear and tear at such a young age at a very physical position can happen very quick in the NFL. But I'm a big fan of the Saints defense. But boy, trends are different. And Jameis Winston, boy, I like the Saints, but I'm going with the Panthers to get off the schneid today because I think their defense will get after it. Kamara's going to play. Thomas, I'm not sure about. But Carolina, I think in a kind of a watershed moment game, I think they get it done and move to 1-2 and keep the Saints at 1-2 and it's still battling for that, you know, second or third spot in that division in the NFC. I like the Panthers today to beat the Saints at home. The winless with one tie, Houston Texans are 0-1-1. They go to Chicago to play the Bears, who are 1-1 as well. Well, the Bears need to get tight end Cole Kmet going. Shouldn't they? No receptions. And how about Darnell Mooney? 2 receptions of 5 yards. Those guys have to be more involved with a team that's still trying to find its identity in Justin Fields, a quarterback. They did run for 180 yards against Green Bay last week at 6.7 per attempt. So that's a good thing, Montgomery in the backfield. But get those guys involved in the passing game a little more. Open it up. Justin Fields had his third career rush TD last week. Houston has won 4 out of the last 5. Davis Mills aims for his 4th straight start with no interceptions. And rookie running back Damian Pierce, who had 15 carries to 69 yards last week, which were the most by a Texans rookie since 2017. I'm a big Davis Mills fan. I think they'll be just fine eventually. Lovie Smith at the helm. I think he'll get it done today. I think Houston gets off the shine. And it's ones across the board as they even their season out. And the Bears drop to 1-2. Again, if you want to join me, please do. 515-602-9730. Moving right along. 0-1-1 Indianapolis entertains the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 2-0. Interesting matchup here. They've won 3 out of the last 4 in the series. Andy Reid is 3-6 versus the Indianapolis Colts. What's going to give? On paper, obviously, Colts need to win. Are they too good of a team talent-wise to be 0-3? Are they still finding ways? Is Matt Ryan still integrating himself into the offense? Are they still a work in progress? Is the offensive line good enough to protect him? They scored the fewest points thus far in the NFL. They've lost 6 of the last 8 home openers, the Colts have, and they started 1-5 twice in the last 4 seasons. Trends are very popular, very trendy, no pun intended, in the NFL. The good news is, on defense, all-pro linebacker Shaquille Leonard is possible to play, and they may just need him against Juju Smith-Schuster, who has 5 catches and 95-plus receiving yards and a TD catch in 2 of 3 career versus the Colts. Chris Jones goes for his 11th game in his career with 2-plus sacks, but Willie Gay has been suspended for 4 games due to a personal conduct policy. Chief defense is getting better. I think they're solid all the way around. Edward Zelaya, Isaiah Pacheco. Lots of weapons there for Kansas City. Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. Again, it's keeping Mahomes. I think if you keep Mahomes now to run a little bit more, that may be to a defensive advantage. Because right now, if he gets time to pass, he's got a plethora of receivers who can get open at any point in time. They don't have the breakaway speed that Tyreek Hill had, but they don't need that this year to that extent. I like the Chiefs today. But I still think Matt Ryan and the Colts will be good. But the work in progress commences for at least another week at Indy. Patriots fans are interested in this tilt. Boy, what gives here with the Miami Dolphins? Because up here in the Northeast, there's a fine line between misery and being a fanatic. Because the Patriots fans up here, and some of the talking heads, look at week one, and they say, okay, Miami, it wasn't that score indicative, and I don't think it was that close to the score, 27 final score, was as indicative as I think the game was a one-sided deal. But they look at that Miami game and say, you know, we held them in check, and, you know, by the way, we're playing Baltimore, a team that defense didn't look good against Miami, so are we better than Baltimore because we held Miami in check and we're playing Baltimore, we should beat them because maybe we can open up the air game against a defense that looked very susceptible, especially in the fourth quarter, to Tua and that offense? But let me tell you something. It's week to week, fans. Football is week to week. Matchups. Very seldom can you take away what happened the week before and click and paste it to the following week. The Bills have won seven of the last seven in the series. Miami's 2-0 at home. Buffalo, what gives? But the Bills could have two rookie starting cornerbacks. First-round pick, Kaiir Elam, and sixth-round choice, Christian Bedford, with Dane Jackson out, and is done for the year with a neck injury. There's your game, my friends. The secondary of the Bills against the speedy receivers, Jaylen Waddle and Tariq Hill of the Dolphins. Can Buffalo get pressure on Tua and force him out of the game to keep him in check? Because the more that happens, the more Miami has a chance. I think Miami has a chance to win in a shootout. This is a close game, low score, which I don't think it will be. I think it favors the Bills. Because one thing I'm seeing with Josh Allen is this guy, when he's on the field, is that he owns it. When he passes for 300 yards, Josh Allen, he is 13-2. And he's got Stephon, who has 270 yards, four TDs on 20 receptions, which leads the NFL reception-wise thus far in the year. Gabriel Davis dinged up last year. Didn't need it. Next man up. Stephon Diggs still got his calls. Still got his catches. But it's that secondary I'm worried about. Big, big AFC tilt today. Game of the week implications. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers notwithstanding. This is the game I want to see at 1 o'clock. The Bills, the Dolphins. The last 20 Bills wins have been by 10 points or more. Think about that. 20 consecutive wins the Bills have had by 10 points or more. Incredible. So when they win going away. So in other words, if this Bills team gets up, they don't take their foot off the gas. The Bills get up big in this game, it's not going to happen to them what the Baltimore Ravens did last week. And I'm not taking any credit away from Miami, but the Ravens, when you're up 34-10 in the fourth quarter and you let Tariq Hill get behind you, shame on you. That should never happen at any point in the game. I know he can beat you, but if you look at some of those blown coverages, that safety was nowhere to be found. They got the opportunity. They made it happen. And the Ravens were burned and burned badly. That will not happen to the Bills today. I don't care who's in the backfield because they're well coached. It's going to be a good game today. I'm not sure they'll win by 10, but I like the Bills to go down south and to go to 3-0. I just think they're that damn good. And I'm not sure the Dolphins team we saw last week as good as advertised. I like the Bills to go down south and go to 3-0 today. Another game with fantasy implications. The Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins can't win on primetime. We know that. Detroit 1-1, Minnesota 1-1. Boy, this has to make. If you've got fantasy guys in this game, see the over-under total. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is offhand. I'm not a gambler. But you're going to see this team, each team in the mid to late 30s. I'm convinced of it. Nobody talks about him in Detroit. He goes for his fifth straight game with two or more TD passes. The Lions have scored a TD in 15 straight quarters, which is the longest active week in the NFL. So, the Lions, for if any reason you want to watch them, be it this, it's a good reason to watch a team that's pretty much snake-bitten and has a lot of history and is pretty much the, you know, the redheaded stepchild, if you will, the lovable loser. But at least it's something to root for. And Dan Campbell, I'll say again, the team loves the guy. And I can't fault him for that. Because if you're, the team loves the coach, you're going to get the best out of your players. But, Aiden Hutchinson last week. Talk about a bust out. Became the fourth youngest player since 1982 with three sacks in a game. Got to be happy, Lions fan. The other side, it was the Kings to get up early, who last week fell behind and had three turnovers in the second half, all via the pick. That is Kirk Cousins personified. Hall of Fame stats. But I know the trendy pick was the Minnesota Vikings to do better, to maybe unseat the Packers in that division. But until Kirk Cousins can overcome those albatross, that fatal flaw, if you will, of not being able, of the turnover at the wrong time, of not being able to win clutch and late, I just don't think it's going to get done for this Minnesota team. Dalvin Cook goes for his fourth in a row versus Lions with a TD. Linebacker Eric Kendrick has a pick in each of those last two versus the Detroit Lions, but, man, I was leaning Minnesota, but I'm going to go with the Lions because I think that something's going to – I think it's going to be a close game. And if the ball is in the hands of Kirk Cousins at the end and they're down or up a score, I think a good turn. Lions win at Minnesota to go to 2-1. It'll be a long time since we last said that. The Lions are the winning record 3 weeks into the season. Lions defeat Minnesota. Again, if you want to join me, 515-602-9730. 515-602-9730. Taking you right up to about 11, maybe a little bit before. Hopefully let me into your Sunday just for a minute. And if not, call. Just give me a listen. Tell me what you think. Hit me up on Twitter at AP_. And I'll get your opinions, your feedback. I'm open to anything. Constructive criticism at your service. We'll skip the Baltimore New England game and save that for last. Cincinnati, who is 0-2, and at the Jets, who are 1-1. Big game for the Bengals, huh? Wow. We haven't. Stop me if you said this before. Stop me if you've heard this before. That the offensive line has not been able to protect Joe Burrow. 13 sacks in two games. There you go, Jets. There's your secret. Scheme it up. Bingo. You get to Flacco. You're going to win this game. Something's wrong with that chemistry and offense. I know it's done with the offensive line. But Jamar Chase isn't sneaking up. He'll get his yardage. But defensive secondaries will be prone to him. So he's going to have to prove it. And run better routes, run strict routes. I'm not saying he does badly, because I like what he does. Time for number one on the Cincinnati offense. Bengals looking to avoid their first 0-3 start since 2019, when they started the year 0-11 before beating the New York Jets in Week 12. And last year, the Bengals were riding high and waltzed into MetLife Stadium in New Jersey and were thumped by the Jets. Jet fans, Garrett Wilson, gotta love this dude. Joe Flacco last week in the fourth quarter looked like MVP Joe Flacco in that crazy, wild weekend of fantastic fourth quarters last Sunday. Incredible. Jets are part of it. Kudos to them. But Flacco will get you the ball if you're open. He'll get the arm strength. Wilson, 8 passes for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns in a breakout performance last week. The Jets' offense is averaging 391 yards per game. Boy, it's going to be taxing on that defense of Cincinnati today. Joe Flacco, again, is he vintage thus far? Keeps playing like he's doing. Keeps Zach Wilson on the bench until he's extremely healthy and better. And 100%. Because the former Super Bowl MVP, Joe Flacco, has 5 TDs versus 1 pick thus far. So I'm saying to myself, do I see the Jets 2-1 today? I don't. Do I see the Cincinnati Bengals 0-3? I don't. I think the Jets are on the come. I think it'll be close. But I think the Bengals have to win today, not only for the record, not only because of each loss, that term hangover hangs over their head, because they're going to be questioned about that ad nauseum by the media. I think they get back on track today in a very, very, very important game for the Bengals in every way, shape, or form, coaching-wise. Offensively wise, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, that offensive line, that's the focal point. You got to step up today. Even have to give the rock, get it done. Win ugly if you have to, Bengals, but win. And I think they get it done today in the Meadowlands. The 0-2 Titans versus the 0-2 Raiders. Something's got to give here. Tennessee, you got to wonder. And we're going to go to the phones here. I'll get more to the Tennessee matchup against the Raiders. Well, let's go to our old friends from the Going Old School show, and that's Lou from New Jersey. Lou.
Morning, gentlemen.
It's only me today, Lou, again, like the other night, but how are you doing today?
Okay. All right.
I'll say one thing.
I never win with the Bears. Every time I try to take them, they never win, so I'm not taking them. Forget it.
The Bears? The Bears?
I'm not taking the Bears. I'm taking the Titans.
You like the Titans or the Raiders today?
I'm not sold on the Raiders yet. They got some work to do.
But the Raiders too. I'm not sold on the Raiders. I'm not sold on Derek Carr.
What happened?
I don't know, but everyone talks about Derek Carr. Hear me out with this, and I want to get your opinion on this because I know you know sports, Lou. Derek Carr is now 51-72 career one loss record. So he's not winning. He's got the stats,
no.
But he's got Devontae Adams now. And remember Matt Stafford going from Detroit to the Rams with a losing record? Put him with the Rams with the weapons. He won a Super Bowl. I think Derek Carr's in that same position. I'm not too sure he can get it done. Your thoughts on that?
No, probably not. I mean, you know, it wasn't that way that so long ago. And, you know, he was a star player. Now, with the Raiders, you know, he's not helping them all. He's not going to get his job. He's not your guy for the Raiders anymore. So I think he's going to look to go elsewhere when the season's over. Maybe they'll send him to Detroit. That's just thinking.
All right, Cincinnati at the Jets today. That was the Jets put a number on them last year. Jets are Cincinnati's 0-2, and they can the Jets get to Burrow today, who's been sacked 13 times as far?
If he is good enough, like he was last week, yes. You know, Bengals will hang a real loss. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm recovering from that thing. So, but yeah, from that thing. But anyway, you know, the Bengals have been struggling since they lost the Super Bowl. And if Flacco could stay on the way he did from last week, I think the Jets could beat him. I hope.
And I just keep listening. And I was previewing the game right before you jumped on. Joe Flacco can still get the ball downfield. If he gets open receivers, he'll complete passes. So you're looking at vintage. But the Jets win today, and the Giants play tomorrow in the Meadowlands, which will be rocking against the Cowboys.
Let's not get too hasty now.
No. Your thoughts on the Giants tomorrow?
I'm going with Cowboys. Sorry.
Yeah, I kind of like that
If Cooper Rush can have the kind of game he had last week, I think they won't need Prescott back in his position.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Giants and what they're doing. I love Brian Daboll, and I think Arrow's pointing up the culture changing. But I think Cooper Rush wins tomorrow and then let the quarterback controversy in Dallas start, because if you're Cooper Rush and you win your third start with him, Prescott's under the hot seat.
Yeah, it's already started, though. And not for nothing, but Jerry Jones says, hey, I welcome it.
Me too. I don't mind Jerry Jones because, you know what, he's a character of himself.
That's true. Of course, they're going to have Jimmy Johnson back, but...
Yeah, no kidding. That's a whole other story. Lou, thanks, man.
All right, and then I'll talk to you Wednesday, I think.
You bet it, man. Lou, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks, buddy. That's Lou from New Jersey, and I appreciate that call, Lou, because I'm going solo, and any other voice will help me. As he was talking about Tennessee and the Raiders, I'm not sure who I believe. Tennessee, I will tell you, offensive lineman Taylor Lewin this morning was placed on the IR this week, and I got this yesterday, courtesy of my boy, Howard Balzer, at HBalzer721 on Twitter. Since the rosters were cut down to 53, the Titans have placed 9 players on IR, the second offensive lineman to go on IR this week. I like the Raiders today, only because it's the lesser of two evils. Again, I don't believe in Derek Carr. He's got to get the ball to Adams. 57-71 is in his career in his 9th season. Raiders are -3 in takeaways. But Bud Dupree and Harold Landry III will not be playing, I believe, for Tennessee. I love rookie receiver Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. But it's Tannehill. And I think, again, one of those teams knocking on the door like in Atlanta. I like Mariota, but the backup quarterback, you know, out of Liberty, knocking on the door. I think the Raiders go to Tennessee and beat Tennessee today. In my route, I have Philadelphia 2-0 over the Washington Redskins. The Eagles have won the past two. Crazy. Carson Wentz was a starter in Philadelphia when he was replaced by Jalen Hurts. Is it redemption week for Mr. Wentz against his old team as quarterback for the Washington Commanders? Could be a little added incentive. The Eagles lead the NFL with 28 explosive plays, which are completions of 16 yards or more and runs of 10 yards or more. And Washington gave up 6 such plays last week versus the Lions. That's my game. That's my game focus right there. That's why I think the Philadelphia Eagles blow this team out. Both teams are -3 in turnovers. I love head coach Ron Rivera, who's 5-4 versus Philly. But what Carson Wentz is going to show up. And Philly, right now, with each week, I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl favorite, but they're showing me that I believed in them a lot less than I should have. The Eagles in my route today. Who's your route, your shout, and your bust out? 515-602-9730. Johnny Sunchips going solo for you on the Going Old School Show. NFL Sunday, Week 3 edition. on blogtalkradio.com. I will be here every Sunday at this time. We may fluctuate a little bit. October 9th, I believe, I'm going to attend the Patriots-Detroit Lions game. So to be determined, time and a day for the Week 5 Going Old School Sunday NFL show. We'll keep you abreast of that. Hashtag Opinions101. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page at the Old School Podcast on Facebook. All right. 405 shots. Play charges at 1-1. No 1-1. All right. It's off the board, obviously. The game time decision with Justin Herbert. And with what we see with the ribs, and you can talk about his courageous performance last week, and the quarterback never wants to come out. But he should have been out of that game last week. My opinion. You lose the game, so what? Which they did. Again, does this galvanize the team? It may. But it may have hurt your quarterback status for the next couple of weeks. So that's a game time decision. I'd like the Chargers anyway, because I think Austin Eckler will run the you-know-what through this team. In two previous games versus the Jaguars, he has 332 all-purpose yards, averaging 12.9 yards a touch with three TDs. It's Austin Eckler all day long if you're the backup. Khalil Mack leads the AFC with 3.5 sacks, tied with 5 quarterback hits. Their defense get after trouble today. Lawrence had a 95.3 QBR last week against the Colts, the highest of his career, but he has not had a quarterback rating of 50 or better in back-to-back games in his year plus. So a milestone to be, we'll see. They go to L.A. Long trek for a team from the Southeast to go west. Trends for the Jaguars, who've lost 18 consecutive road games, which is the 8th longest streak in the history of the NFL. They're 0-5 versus the Chargers on the road, dating back to 78, 3-15 on the West Coast. I like the Chargers. They could go big in this game, regardless of who's there, as long as they hold on to the ball. I think it's Chase Daniel who'll get the start if Herbert doesn't go. So I think Jacksonville has got their hands full, and the Chargers will go to 2-1. Jacksonville at 1-2. Some good things happening with the Jags. But Chargers, too good of a team all around to lose this game today. Rams go to Arizona. This is my bust-out game, guys. 1-1 Rams to Arizona at 1-1. Kyler Murray made it his team, if you heard Howard Balzer on our Wednesday show on the Going Old School show. You can go on Blog Talk Radio and archive that if you will. And if you want, I'll send it out to you. Yeah, at JP_Ahern on Twitter. We have Howard Balzer every week at 7 p.m. on the Going Old School show live on Blog Talk Radio with myself, Johnny Crow, and Joe Ferrand. The Rams have won 10 of 11 dating back to 27-2, folks. That comes to an end today. 12. This elbow, Matt Stafford, is a concern. Van Jefferson will not be playing today. He's on the reserve injured list. Thank you, Howard Zalzer, 721 on Twitter. 7 Ram players have takeaways to aid in Stafford's turnover. Aaron Donald had 3 sacks in the last meeting against Arizona. Zach Ertz, who got more involved last week, looks for the 3rd straight game versus the Rams with 5 or more catches. James Conner will be a game-time decision, but we're not sure. I haven't checked the Twitter feed yet. Keep you posted if you're fantasy. But Matt Stafford has thrown 8 interceptions in his last 4 games, including last year's postseason. He leads all quarterbacks with 5 picks in his first 2 weeks. The Cardinals' defense doesn't have an interception, but it changes today. J.J. Watt will Arizona found something last week. Kyler Murray made it his team. And I think he even postage stamps that thought even further today. And they bust out and beat the Rams in Arizona and go to 2-1. But I like the Cardinals. I like J.J. Watt. I think they'll win today. And I'm just not sold on the Rams. Hangover, what is it? I think there's something missing with that team. Just got by a frisky Atlanta Falcon team in the fourth quarter last week. Again, each week is a Saturday. But I'm not a believer in Matt Stafford. I think there's more to the elbow. I think we'll see that on a weekly basis. So, he got a Super Bowl last year. He may be the same Matt Stafford, lots of touchdowns and lots of picks today if you get the pressure on him. My shout-out is to the Atlanta Falcons at 0-2. They will go to Seattle today and win against the Seattle team who was 1-1 and had their basic Super Bowl week one. Credit Geno Smith against Denver at home with Russell Wilson's return to the 12th man, and we saw the reception, and they got the win against Denver, but they're not as good a team as we saw that night. They're 1-1. I think they'll tread water. Atlanta has played two very close games. You can argue they could be 1-1, maybe 2-0. They spent the week out west after losing last week to the Rams, so that time difference is not going to be a factor. Seahawks are last in the league, averaging 56 yards rush per game. Grady Jarrett, hello. Geno Smith leads the league in completion percentage, completing 80% of his passes, but he's only 47 of 58, 392 yards, two touchdowns, 99.1 rating, pedestrian-like. Water will seek its level. I like the story with Geno. Marcus Mariota, who's been steady with an 81 passer rating, getting it done, winning games. But Drake London, 8th overall pick, he has at least 5 catches for 70 or more yards in his first 2 games. Not bad for the rook. Lucky the wideout position this year again. My shout-out is to the Atlanta Falcons, who get off the schneid and go to 1-2. 12th man, not today. Okay. Matchups of GOATs. Green Bay, 1-1 at Tampa Bay, 2-0. Brady is 3-1 in head-to-head matchups with Aaron Rodgers. That was a big win for the Bucs last week. That game was playing well into the hands of the Saints. A rock fight, physical game, 3-3 in the fourth quarter. Brady found an open receiver, Perryman, clutch pass to take the lead. New Orleans Saints self-destructed, but the Buccaneers found a way to pull that out. And that was Brady's first regular season win against a gritty Saint team who had his number during the regular season. Not many moments for Brady in his 20-plus year career, but that was one of them. Finding a way to win, got it done, albeit several tablets later. Said goodnight and went to the boneyard in the process, but they got the win. They'll be without receiving leader Mike Evans, who was suspended, and possibly Chris Godwin, hamstring, and Julio Jones, I believe, is out with a knee. Enter Cole Beasley, who signed off the practice squad. Him and Scotty Miller could see plenty of action today in the perimeter. Zigzagging, crisscrossing. Look how creative that Tampa Bay offense with those two guys. It'll open up things. Touchdown Lenny. Playoff Lenny in the backfield. But all the Bucs could get after it. They lead the league with 10 sacks. They have 4-6 turnovers. 3 of those sacks by Devon White, who is playing out of his mind right now. They'll be going after Aaron Rodgers, who's been sacked 7 times this season. and Sammy Watkins will be out on IR. Linebacker Rashawn Gary goes for his third straight sack for the Buck for the Green Bay defense, and they're going to have to prove it today. Green Bay, I think, we'll go down and give them a fight, but I just can't see Tampa losing this game. I think just, the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is too strong for the Green Bay offense, and I think they get it done today. Tampa over Green Bay. Tonight's matchup. San Francisco at 1-1 goes to Denver, also 1-1. Well, the Niners are glad he's out of Seattle, but Kyle Shanahan is not glad he's at the Broncos, at least for this game. So the Niners head coach is 2-8 career versus Russell Wilson. Take the mental aspect of that, coach and quarterback. Again, I didn't think Russell Wilson going to Denver was going to equal a Super Bowl title or a Super Bowl representative from the AFC, much less winning the division. And it's proven out that way. Wilson has not been the same player that he was. A lot of games he's played, been really, really well, carried a Seattle team with a rebuilding defense for years with that offense, wear and tear on Wilson. And I don't think Denver was that great of a team. They got players all around. I think they're very talented. I think the Chargers are way more talented. And you know how I feel about Kansas City. I think Denver's the least talented team in that division. And they're going against the San Francisco defense, which has limited their first two opponents, albeit Chicago and Seattle, to fewer than 220 yards offense, which hasn't been done since the Panthers in 2017. Anytime you limit two teams, no matter who it is, offense in games, you're doing something right. But two former 49ers are playing key roles on the Denver defense. One is tackle DJ Jones, five tackles. Can he be a force in the middle? And quarterback Kwon Williams, tackles. But the return of all-world tight end George Kittle. The last time these two teams met, Kittle torched Denver with seven catches for 210 yards in the first half. Trends, we'll see. I'm a believer in Garoppolo. I think they go to Denver, and they win this game pretty handily. Too little, too late. A lot of question marks. Now, Nathaniel Hackett, number one, and Russell Wilson. And if they lose today, per little stories breaking, having his own office there, look great team guy, but that happened in Seattle, may not be great to Denver. Maybe some of the players don't appreciative of him not being that quote-unquote team guy. And you know, we see from some of these athletes when the red light's on, is that who they are elsewhere? And Russell Wilson, great character guy. I'm not going to take that away from him. NFL Man of the Year, I think a couple times. There's always another side to these guys. They would be seeing that in Denver. I don't know. But if they continue to lose, we may see little cracks in that dam, if you will. Niners. Big today over the Broncos. That brings me to the Dallas and the Giants. Cooper Rush. Fit scene today for a while if they went to the Meadowlands, take on the Giants who were 2-0. Nine of the last 10. That's because the Cowboys have had better teams than the Giants. And then the Cowboys have basically ruled that division. Last several years. Could be changing with Philly and the Giants on the come. Micah Parsons, like I said, picked earlier in the show, right where he leads off, leads the league with four sacks. He's a force. And the defense for Dallas, two games in, they're legit, my friends. They have held both Tom Brady one TD apiece in the first 2 weeks. That's pretty darn good. As for a defense. Michael Gallup may see action, which will be much needed for the receiving core, looking for a number, in my opinion. The other hand, Saquon Barkley leads the league with 236 rushing yards and fifth best overall with 282 yards from scrimmage. It's all about health with Saquon. Sterling Shepard is in his seventh season with the Giants, and he's the longest tenured Giant. For the season, he has eight receptions for 105 yards, one TD, averaging 13.1 yards a catch. But what that tells me, Giant fans, that's a young team. So, young team with a young coach in his first year, young head coach, if you will, tenure-wise, with a quarterback, guru. Can he make Daniel Jones a winner? Can we see that? Can he get the best out of Daniel Jones? And is that best to foresee him as the quarterback of the future for the Giants? We don't know. Can make a step in the right direction today with a performance against the Cowboys, against that defense. But is it that to Lou from New Jersey who called in earlier in the show? Cowboys win today. I believe that. That Cooper Rush has had in a Cowboy uniform. And that would be his third win. In a division win on Monday night, Jerry Jones would love that. And he himself, being his own worst enemy, has already fanned those flames of a quarterback controversy. They'll stoke him even more. And get the little kerosene cans out, if you will. Because there will be a quarterback controversy in Dallas. Cooper Rush goes into the Meadowlands in New Jersey, or MetLife Stadium, and beats the Giants. Guaranteed. It's already starting. It'll happen. There you have it, folks. Thanks for allowing me into your homes, into your tailgates, to whatever you're doing. Pardon me, I am a little under the weather due to this crazy weather in the Northeast. But thanks for listening. Again, programming notes, Howard Balzer each week on the Going Old School show with John Crow, Joe Ferrand, and myself from 7 to 8:30 Wednesday Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com. I will be here every week at 10 a.m. on our NFL Sunday edition of the Going Old School show. Thanks to Lou. Thanks to everyone out there. Folks, enjoy your football Sunday. Be safe. Enjoy your barbecues, whatever you do. Stay well. Good luck to your teams. Good luck to all your fantasy teams, except if you're facing me. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday night on the Going Old School show. Take care. Be well. Stay safe.